And the reading today will be from Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove that which is good and acceptable and perfect will of God.
As God's children, we live our lives day by day, every day, in the very presence of God, under the wings of His providence, His protection. And yet it's a very special thing to come together on the first day of the week, to come together to worship God as we've come together this morning. So glad to see you here today. And if you're visiting with us, please know you're a special welcomed visitor. We're glad that you're here. Hope you'll come back every time you can. If you're watching at home, we're glad that you're part of the service as best you can as you're watching this on your device at home. I remind you that we have these lessons live streamed in our Bible class, also in our worship service on Sunday morning and also Sunday evening. And as well as that, these lessons, these messages, these sermons are called and cut out of the services, most of them are anyway. And later, if you'd like to listen again or share them with someone you know, they're available both on YouTube and on Facebook. Follow us, the Midtown Church of Christ on Facebook. Appreciate you doing that. And get the message out. We want to have more and more in our services and more watching online because we want the Word of God to have a full and a strengthened ability to get out to the most people possible. And so let's do all we can to do that. Which really dovetails into our topic for this morning. We just read in Romans chapter 12, the first two verses, admonition of Paul to those of the Christians at Rome. And in part, he reminds them of something they surely already know. After all, we, in becoming Christians, have not just turned over a new leaf of life, we have completely redone, restarted, rebirthed our lives. The Bible refers to conversion as a beginning again, a new birth in which we become new creation. Our Lord told Nicodemus, you must be born again in John chapter 3. And later Paul will say in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, if any of us are in Christ, we're new creations. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And so, yes, those in Rome who first read the first part of Romans chapter 12, already know this, as we as Christians, who've been Christians, many of us for decades now, should already know this. But he reminds them, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And again, that's why we want the message of the cross to get out to as many as possible, either in person or online, because we want everybody to realize it's a mistake to be conformed to this world. It's a blessing to be transformed by a changed way of thinking, to be able to see in real time, in a real life, in a practical sense, that yes, God is right. That we might prove by our lives that yes, God's will is perfect. God's will is acceptable. God's will is what makes us better people here and fit and set and ripe and right for the life to come. But we have to realize, before we can change our minds toward God, we have to realize what this world is doing and the influence this world is having upon us. If we're not careful, we can be, as the text says, conformed to this world. The literal idea there is being shaped into the world's mold. One of the most common questions I'm asked of those who study the Bible and ask questions to me about some matters that they're dealing with, one of the most common questions is this: is there demon possession today? After all, you read in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John about Jesus, among various miracles he does, is casting out demons. People who against their will have demons sent by the devil into their hearts, into their lives, into their bodies, and against their will transform them into doing things they couldn't, wouldn't do otherwise. And Christ will go to them and say the words, and just with the words said, the demons leave them. In one case, you might remember, he allows those same demons to go into a herd of swine, which soon are killed as they go off the cliff. But the question comes then, do we still have demon possession today? And quite often I'll deal with it, I think, in the Bible way by suggesting the fact that those days largely are past, that since we have no means by which miraculously to cast out the demons aren't there with no recourse of being cast out, and it seems as if the demon possession went away about the same time or a bit before the time of the miracles of New Testament days done through human agency themselves went their own way. But the more I think about it, that's not really the full question or the complete answer. Because even though I don't think the Bible supports the idea there being demon possession today, where demons against the will of the participant gets into and overtakes the mind and body of someone, I do think the devil, through his demons, is busy today. And with the allowance and cooperation of us, if we're not careful, can begin to control us. Not against our will, but fully complicit with our decisions, our choices. Just as God controls you by his word, the devil controls you by his teaching. And just as God works on your behalf, the devil works against your behalf. And yes, the devil is strong, but not the strongest. God is stronger. But that being said, the devil is pervasive. And if we're not careful, this world, which the devil seems to have full reign in at present, I won't get into the devil being bound and all of that from the last of Revelation and what period of time we're in and aren't, but I know this. The devil's busy right now. The devil is at work right now. And he's got so much of the world under his sway right now. And he wants you and he wants me in his camp right now. And he does everything he possibly can to shape us, to mold us into his own image of warped depravity. Now the Bible warns us against this over and over again. John says in 1 John chapter 2, love not the world, nor the things that are in the world. And then he begins to list those temptations we have in the world, the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life. He says these aren't of God, they're of the world. And the world passes away and the lust of it. Well, why does God tell us not to love the world? because all those things of the world that drag us down and keep us away from God, away from what God wants us to be, and away from the best that God wants us to become. The world does not have our best interest at heart. There are more than one reasons for that, but the most important is this. The world has no idea of anything past itself or past this life. The world just sees things for now and of a fleshly nature. The lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life. Things now for now. And as the world sees it, that's it. You're born, you live, you die, you might as well grab all the gusto you can while you're here. You have to look out for number one while you're here. You have to do whatever you want while you have time to do it while you're here, because when life's over, everything is over. And the Bible says no. That's not even close to half the case. This life is just almost nothing in terms of experience to what lies beyond this life. And you might recall the Apostle Paul saying in 1 Corinthians 15, as he considers the life of the Christian beyond this one, the life beyond the resurrection and past judgment when we're one day with God in heaven. He says, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most to be pitied, most miserable. In other words, if this is all there is, well, the world says this is all there is. And once we buy into that narrative, we easily are conformed and shaped into the world's mold, because we start seeing things just from that perspective. What do I want? What can I have right now? How can I get mine? How can I have enough? How can I make sure my rights aren't violated? How can I make sure that I'm ahead of you? Because all is about now, and nothing is about beyond this life and later. As I say, once we buy into that false narrative, we're ripe for being shaped into this world's mold. That's right where the devil wants us. And yes, that's how the devil, through his demons and his work, can possess us, not against our will. We always have a choice, but in cooperation with us. He can possess us in the sense we're conformed to this warped way of thinking. And you notice in the text, there's a difference in the world and in this renewed mind he mentions next. It's one thing to be conformed on purpose. It's something else to be conformed almost against our will, but not quite. When it comes to being transformed, that's a new way of thinking. That's a new perspective. That's a new philosophy of life. We see things differently. But it's not so much our choosing to be conformed. We find ourselves, because of a warped perspective, we find ourselves being conformed, being molded, like the world would have us to be. Again, not completely against our will, but not with our rational thought involved. We just blindly and blithely go day by day, acting as if this world were all there was, acting as if what we see on television is always right, acting as if what we read on the internet is always true, acting as if our neighbor has it better than we do and we've got to keep up somehow and get ahead of them if we can, acting as if there's nothing beyond this life, acting as if it's all about us. And in so doing, we find ourselves not against our will, as I say, but without our rational thought, buying into that notion, accepting that narrative, and being molded right into the shape the devil wants us. Be not conformed to this world. The world is darkness. We're supposed to be children of light. And Paul will say in Ephesians 5, wake up, you who are sleeping, and realize you're children of light. Jesus will say in Matthew chapter 5, you are the light of the world. Well, it's about time we as Christians started believing that and acting that way and having lives noticeably different and distinctive from the world around us. Instead, I hate to say it, but so often it looks to those outside looking in as if we're no different than the world. We're so shaped and formed and molded and conformed to this world, there's hardly any difference to be seen. The world talks trash, we talk trash. The world uses vulgar language, we use vulgar language. The world tells and laughs at dirty jokes, so do we. The world is mean and ugly and bitter to their neighbors, so are Christians. And as Paul will say in other matters, brethren, these things ought not so to be. As Christians, we have put that old life behind us. And now we live as lights in this world, hopefully living better lives, stronger lives, more Christ-like lives. We're not conformed to this world. We've left it. We've been born again. And what have we chosen to do? We've chosen to be transformed. And don't lose sight of this next phrase, by the renewing of your mind. It all starts with the mind and the heart. It's not enough just to clean up your act and do better. You need to. We all do. But if you don't start with the mind and heart first, it falls flat. You've got to change the way you see things, your perspective on matters. You've got to change your philosophy. A philosophy which says, no, there's more to this life than just meets the eye. There's more than the here and now. There's more than this life and this flesh. The world has got it wrong. This changed mind that says, I'm going to listen to God and do things His way. And as we've mentioned several times before, that lends itself to a larger question. Why would I? The world, it looks like they're having fun. The world seems to be excited about what they're doing. Why should I buy into this narrative that there's a life after this one, that I need to live a different, a better, a higher, a more noble life here? Why should I live for Christ? Why should I change my mind? And Paul says, you do it as a way of proving the fact that God's will is good. It's well-pleasing to Him, and it's perfect. The proof is in the doing. And what Paul is saying here is what Jesus has said earlier, what the apostles have said otherwise, what the whole Bible is shouting, and that is, try it for yourself and see. When disciples are talking about whether or not to come to Jesus, one who's seen says, come and see. And Jesus will say, come unto me, I'll give you rest. As it were, give it a try and see. Unlike other religions, the Christian religion is not one of a battering ram forcing people in a certain direction. It's a welcoming party saying, give it a try and see for yourself. And every time it's sincerely attempted and tried, this gospel way, this Christian message and life, it's seen as being the best way, the happiest way, the most fulfilling way of living a life. Not just in the life to come, but even while we're here. Give it a try and you'll see, yes, God's right. You want to be well-rounded, fulfilled in your life, in your work, in your relationships, in your citizenship, in your country? You want to be the best you can be right now? Do things God's way. Listen to what the Bible says. Become a Christian. Become more like Christ. You want to have the best life in the world to come? Well, of course, come to Christ. Obey the gospel. Be God's person, God's child. Be born again. You transform your life by God's power, by the renewing of your own mind. You prove, both to yourself and to everybody noticing, you prove that yes, God's will is good. God's will is acceptable, is well-pleasing. God's will is perfect. God's will is right. And I'll say that the reason more haven't proven it so far is because more haven't really given it a try. And I hate to say that so many Christians really haven't proven it yet because so many Christians haven't yet really given it a try. And I'll say as Paul does here, don't be conformed to this world. Be transformed. Change your way of thinking. Renew your mind and prove it for yourself. And you'll see that yes, in every respect, on every matter, God is right. His will is right. And you're the better for it by living that way. My friend, if you're here this morning and outside of Christ, change that, become a Christian. Or if you are a Christian but have walked away and need to come back, change that and come back this morning. If you need to come, come now as together we stand and sing.